welcome to the Graces Brave Be Brave podcast. I am Chris Kratzer and glad to be with you once again. You may be wondering, where have I been? Well, probably similar to where you've been. Boy, holiday stuff, Christmas, New Year's, all that good stuff. Taking a break, spending time with family, just kind of recentering and recalibrating for the new year. And so here I am, mid-January, episode 22. And thank you for being here. By the way, those of you who have purchased my new book, Stupid Shit Heard in Church and the Truth That Will Wipe You Clean, thank you for purchasing. Thank you for those of you who have shared reviews on Amazon. Man, I really appreciate that. That's a great way to be able to help other people discover and connect with the book. It's just the way the algorithms work, that the more reviews you have, the more people giving it a rating, the more the algorithms respond and more people see it and have an opportunity to connect with it. So thank you for that. And it's doing well. It's doing real well. I've actually been quite surprised at the reaction to it. It's impacting people in ways that I wasn't quite expecting. In fact, I had one person write to me and said that they, after reading the book, they had to schedule a counseling session with their therapist the next day. The impact in a positive way, the impact was so profound that they just had to figure out how to flesh it and process it and work it all out with their therapist. So, wow. And so thank you. And those of you who haven't read the book, you can find it on Amazon. Just look up my name, Chris Kratzer, or look up the title Stupid Shit Heard in Church, and it will take you right to it. It's available on Kindle and paperback. And so thankful for you even considering that. And for those of you who are contributing to this podcast, wow, thank you for that. Your contributions are able to help people. They all go to my 501c3, Chris Kratzer Ministries, and out of that, I'm able to actually publish books and do different things and contribute and help people and counsel people in ways that I couldn't if you weren't giving. So thank you for that, and know that your contributions are helping greatly for the writing that I do and the impact that it makes. So today, hey, here we are, episode, I'm going to say 22. I'm going to stick with that even if it's wrong. But the title is, We're All Cherry Picking. And I bet you know what that's a reference to because it's a well-known idea, particularly in spiritual circles with Christians, about cherry picking the Bible, you know, choosing the verses that fit with what you want them to fit with. And so it's the idea that, you know, none of us come purely to the Bible. We don't come empty-handed. None of us come empty-hearted, empty-handed, empty-minded. Nobody. And because of that and other reasons, we cherry-pick. Because, you know, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. And if you don't believe that, you're not being honest. You can, I mean, because it's here, there, and everywhere. There are all kinds of different theological strains and different theologies in it and different, and a lot of people have tried to thread it all together and it just can't be threaded because it's written by different people. It's not a book, it's a library. And so we end up with this idea of cherry picking. And we're all doing it. And you got to be honest about it. If you're progressive, you're doing it. If you're conservative, you're doing it. If you're an atheist, you're doing it. Doesn't matter where you come from. You're cherry picking the Bible. See, what all of us do, and I know I'm going to get some pushback on this, but that's okay. What all of us do is we make emotional decisions and then we use the Bible to spiritually justify them. We first make the emotional decision. And then We use the Bible and other things to spiritually justify it. That's how we operate. It's what we do. When I walked away from conservative evangelicalism, the process of that first began when I was honest enough to realize that system of faith and me following it was making me into an asshole. It was making me less like Jesus, a worse person, a more selfish, self-righteous, sinning, faking person. It wasn't helping me. It was hurting me, and it was hurting other people through me, and I had to be honest with that. And so I had to realize in certain terms that I was becoming more and more an asshole. So I had to be honest about it. And then what happened? I made finally the emotional decision that I didn't want to be that way anymore. No matter what anybody said, no matter what verses someone put in front of me in terms of the Bible, I wasn't going to be there. I'd made the emotional decision. Like the Grinch, my heart grew, 3-4 times that day. And so out of that emotional decision, I began to look at the scriptures and other things through the lens of love, through the lens of grace, through the lens of affirmation, acceptance, and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because I made first the emotional decision that that's going to be the kind of person I am. That's where my heart is. And it felt so good because it was like it was releasing the heart to be what it always should have been from the beginning. And what conservative evangelicalism destructed and deconstructed and destroyed and buried came alive, and I decided to be that. Emotionally made the decision. And then I looked at my life and spiritual issues and biblical things, Bible things, through a new heart. That's the process. See, I wrote an article several years ago. Maybe it was just a couple. I also have an essay about it in my new book. Same thing. And the title was, Maybe This Is the Real Reason Why You Believe Being Gay is a Sin. And the whole thrust of that article was to expose the reality that you can take those 6 clobber passages. By the way, the clobber passages, if you're not familiar with that terminology, there are 6 passages in the Bible that people use to condemn the LGBTQ community, to say that they're sinning, that they're sinful. And they use those passages to condemn them. But I expose the fact that you can actually, in biblically faithful terms, in Jesus, you know, Bible-loving terms, you can still have that same mentality towards the Bible, and you can interpret those passages, all 6 of them, in ways that, at the very least, they don't condemn the LGBT community, and some of them actually affirm. They actually support it. Romans 1 is one of those places where you can see where actually, if you turn over the table a little bit of that passage, you realize, oh my gosh, that's an affirmation. And you can see it that way if your heart is compelled to do so. And see, the whole point of that article was to say this. If you can faithfully interpret the Bible in a way that affirms the LGBTQ community, why wouldn't you? Well, the reason is because you don't want to. Your heart's not there. Your heart has made an emotional decision to condemn, and you've just used the Bible to spiritually justify it. And in the other side of that coin, your heart has made the choice. I'm not going to have that and be that and live that. And therefore, I'm going to see those passages as I can as being affirming and at the very least not condemning. It's because why? Because we make an emotional decision typically, and then we spiritually justify it. We make an emotional decision and then we spiritually, which is, you know, why this whole idea of, you know, to think of biblical, the text as being inerrant and that it's the perfect word of God, as if God somehow broke into the heart and minds without the knowledge and will of people and inspired them in some way to give words exactly to everything about God in a perfect way written down. It's just a ridiculous idea. And it's even more ridiculous that we try to use that same Bible and try to come up with a perfect theology. We try to twist it and manipulate it and stretch it and mold it in such a way that we think, wow, we're going to get to something in an interpretive way that is going to solve everything and convince all of our disagreeers. And that just isn't going to happen. Why? Because you can make and twist and conform the Bible into whatever you want it to say and do. Because the Bible doesn't say a damn thing. The Bible itself does not say a damn thing. It's what we are saying through how we want to see it based on the emotional decision that we are justifying. And I know some of my evangelical people and my evangelical upbringing reminds me that people say, well, the Bible says that your heart is wicked and can't be trusted. Well, okay. I, for some people, yeah, that's true, which is all the more reason why you shouldn't become a conservative evangelical, because evangelicalism exploits that. It sets fire to the heart that is condemning, to the heart that is hateful, to the heart that is self-righteous, to the heart that is judgmental, to the heart that wants to push people under their thumb in order to feel better about themselves. It sets it ablaze because it gives it a spiritual justification for it. They want to see it that way. And so this idea that this Bible should be the center and it somehow influences us and somehow can change it. No. It first, what you get out of the Bible is what you first had in your heart. The Bible can't change your heart. Only your heart can change. And that's by when you come and you let the mind of Christ that was in you, that is within you, come out of the deconstruction, of the deconstruction that evangelicalism has done to you. The death that has been done to you spiritually, emotionally, and in your conscience, and in your core, and that heart is resurrected. The mind of Christ in you is allowed a voice, and the blankets are taken off of it. It's like Lazarus coming out of the tomb. See, what happens is we make an emotional decision based on all kinds of factors. And for some people, the emotional decision is that I want to justify my self-righteousness. I have this heart to be self-righteous. I have this heart that I want to say some people are in and some people are out. I have this heart that I want to be right and other people are wrong. I have this heart that I'm going to go to heaven, but other people aren't. I have this heart that you're less of a person and I'm more of a person. You're a minority and I'm the majority. I have more rights. You have less rights. You're not blessed by God. I'm blessed by God. See how that works? That's an emotional thing. I want to have more. That's an emotional thing. I want to have more power. That's an emotional thing. I want a better life. That's an emotional thing. And then what happens is people use the Bible to spiritually justify it. Do you know what happened, how it happened that the Indians, indigenous people of America got raped and pillaged by the very first Christians that came here? Was that those people made an emotional decision to come in and take the land. They had an emotional decision that no matter who was there, they were going to colonize them. And if they wouldn't be colonized them, they would kill them. And they finally came to the point where they said, you know what, we're going to have to spiritually justify this, to the point where they came up with this thing called manifest destiny. And they used the scriptures as a way to spiritually justify the hate and the selfishness and the desire and willingness to kill and steal and destroy that which was already here. The indigenous Americans, the American Indian. And that's how it works. See, when I use the Bible in conversations, I'm trying to use a language that is important to conservative evangelicals. It's not necessarily as important to me, but it's in using language that's important to them as a matter of communicating so that certain things can be heard. But this idea that we debate the Bible and we try to come up with this thread and this revelation that all of a sudden is going to make sense to everybody and is going to put them under our thumb and they're going to have to agree with it and it's going to convince them and it's going to solve everything is futile. Because why? Because with the Bible, we have emotional decisions that we've made. And then we spiritually justify it. And we do that through how? Through cherry picking. Because you can make the Bible say whatever. The Bible is like an instrument. Right? You can come up to the instrument and you can make it sound just about any way you want to make it sound. You can make it sound like crap. You can make it sound good. You can make it sound every way you want. The instrument isn't doing the playing. The instrument does not play on its own. It does not make a sound unless you breathe your interpretation into it and your reading of it. And the way you're going to, what your heart brings to it, is what the Bible says. And it's really what you're saying and just using the Bible to spiritually justify it. And so the issue, the power of the Bible is not in what it says. The power of the Bible is revealing what your heart, the condition of your heart is at. And so this idea of cherry picking is to remove ourselves from that and look within. Are we listening to the mind, the light, the love that has been deposited in all of us? Are we spiritually justifying love, or are we spiritually justifying hate? Are we spiritually justifying affirmation? Are we spiritually justifying condemnation? Are we spiritually justifying exclusiveness? Are we spiritually justifying inclusiveness? Are we spiritually justifying forgiveness? Are we spiritually justifying a lack of forgiveness? That's the question. It's, where is our heart as a human being? And I really think that is the issues at hand. I mean, when I think about, and I'm going to switch gears here just for a second, and I've talked about this in another podcast episode, but I believe in aliens. You know, and the better term is extraterrestrials. I believe in extraterrestrials. And people say, well, why don't they just show themselves? You know why? Because our hearts as human beings cannot handle it. Look what we've done with COVID. I mean, if there was anything that has revealed the heart of American Christianity, particularly on the conservative evangelical side, look what we've done with that. Some Christians don't even have the heart to wear a damn mask. They don't even have the heart to overlook their own inconvenience on behalf of the health of another person. Are you kidding me? You can tell the heart of American Christianity by what it does with the Bible. The Bible's not doing it. It's not the Bible that is changing people. It's we are changing and using the Bible to say whatever we want it to say. The Bible cannot change in you. See, people say, well, it's the power of God's word. No, it's not. The Bible cannot change in you what is not already changing within your heart. What is within your heart? Well, the Bible can change my heart. No. No, you change your heart. Honesty, allowing the light within you to emerge. It's a releasing. It's not a changing. It's becoming more of who you already are. It's not changing who you are. See what I'm getting at? It's revelation. It's not transformation. No one becomes more than what they already are. You're already whole. You're already holy. You're already perfect. You're already sanctified. You're already justified. You already have all the gifts of the Spirit, if you want to use those terms, love, peace, kindness, gentleness. You are already an affirming, beautiful, human, divine, spiritual person. It's the releasing of that, of who you already are. And that's where the heart emerges. It's not that it's changed. It's emerging. The heart, the light is uncovered and it's exposed and it's allowed to shine forth. When I became an affirming Christian, what happened for me is it wasn't that I read the Bible and it changed me. It wasn't that I heard people's sermons about the Bible and it changed me. What happened was is that I developed this friendship with a lesbian coworker, and my heart came to this place. It just, the light in the, my heart just pushed out to where I said, I'm just tired of pre-qualifying people for love. I'm tired of being a jerk. I'm tired of loving with restrictions. I'm tired of trying to drive my heart with the brakes on. I'm tired. And I just said, I can't, I'm not going to do that anymore. And it was released. The soul was released. The light was released. The mind of Christ was given a voice inside of me, louder than my own. And it was then that through that, I re-examined the Bible. And with that heart, I realized it doesn't have to say what it had been saying to me, the way I've been interpreting. I don't have to see it that way. I can choose to see it a different way. I can choose that because it's there. It's there. It's there for the choosing. And if we're honest, we're all cherry pick. It's not necessarily a bad thing unless you're doing it in the direction of darkness instead of light. The Bible is just a book, but your heart is the mind of Christ. And it takes a bravery, you know, it takes the grace that is brave to be able to allow that, to take the wheel, to allow that to shine forth, to allow that to break through the way that conservative evangelicalism has deconstructed you. We don't deconstruct conservative evangelicalism. No, it has deconstructed us, and we only allow the resurrection, the burial clothes of Lazarus within inside of us, the same idea, to come off. And to live from the heart, to live from the light within, to live from the mind and the person of Christ within the universe inside of us, to live from that. And when you live from that, you're going to see the scripture saying different things than you said before. And you're going to read people differently than you read them before. And you're going to read the world around us differently than you read it before. And you're going to read what is important and the needs around us and the issues that we face around us. You're going to read your challenges. You're going to read your setbacks. You're going to read your insecurities. You're going to read your failures. You're going to read everything about you. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to see something else, because you're living from the soul and you're living from the heart. You're living from the universe within. You're living from the mind of Christ. You're living from the person of Jesus within. However you want to label it and describe it. And when you do that, everything you see changes, and what it says changes, and what it means to you changes, and how it influences you changes. Why? Because inside of you, it hasn't, your heart hasn't changed. It's been released. Your life hasn't been transformed. It's been revealed. You get it? And that, my friends, takes bravery. And with that, I end this program as always. Grace is brave. Be brave.